Who's
pizza?
Just swinging in the breeze.
Whoa. Jeez.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza.
Just swinging in the breeze.
P.O. Showtime!
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll make it bad. For the show link, go direct to DLNTS.org. And IC channels are linuxlink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 906 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Happy spring.
We have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Hello.
Yeah, so you were saying, Joel, about the whole pipeline hack thing. The ransomware. It hasn't impacted you at all, has it?
Nope.
Has it impacted you at all?
No.
They're expecting 10 cents. Yeah, they're expecting the impact to be more like if this goes on beyond another week.
Which it isn't.
It has been insane here. Holy crap.
That's what I've heard. Like in Virginia and in North Carolina, it's nuts.
Yes. There was a run on gas the past couple of days. All the gas stations are out.
That's people being stupid. That's people walking up the pumps with like six of the 5 gallon jugs and filling them up with gas.
No, and that's what I mean. That's what's been insane. It's like, you know. So it has an impact to me because I don't go anywhere other than the fact that I really can't go anywhere.
Yeah, you need gas anyway. I keep 60 gallons no matter what around, always.
All right. So, I mean, you know, so.
So if you got containers full of gas, you're good.
Yeah.
The time to prep isn't right when gas shortage is now.
Ago, a year ago.
Right.
Like yeah, Seattle, people heard there like might food. Be a gas shortage
just like
coming.
The time is a year ago.
Yeah. People heard there might be a gas shortage coming, so they're making sure they get all the gas before everybody else does.
It's like why everyone goes to the store and buys freaking bread and milk before a snowstorm.
Or why people bought out all the toilet paper before COVID. I mean, seriously?
But yeah, so that's the way it is over here. People went and bought out all the gas. I mean,
yeah.
I got full tanks in my stuff, but I don't go anywhere, so.
Right.
But if they keep on doing it, it's like. It's back online, so.
Yeah, I think I filled up my gas tank in my Buick once in the last 6 months.
I wish I could say the same, but we've been starting to shuttle stuff down to the storage for 1 month sequester in a extended stay. But so I'm starting to think I'm looking around the apartment, and I'm like, what can I move in my Traverse so that I have very little to move that weekend? Because it also happens the weekend we have to be out of here also happens to be Memorial Day weekend. So
I'll rent a U-Haul for like a week.
Well, yeah, I mean that's
for
that's,
a month.
I mean, well, I might rent it for more than a day or so, just because I could. There's little things that I can move, but I'm gonna probably wait for the bigger things. To have my nephew come and help me. I want to give him some bucks too, but I might end up getting it like the day before. But I might do things like.
Well, is the garage in the new place complete?
Yeah. Well, it is, but I can't put anything in it though. So.
Ah.
But yeah. I mean, the drywall's up. And, well, okay. it's there, but the drywall's up, and plus they don't have any cabinet work or anything in yet, but drywall's up, waiting for the city we live in. And I'm not sure how many other cities have this kind of thing, but they have to inspect the screws that go into the wall, into the drywall, before they tape them and cover the screws up. So that's tomorrow. Inspection's tomorrow. But then after that point, they'll put the first skim coat on, and probably, I'm betting, drywall up to first coat of paint will be done by next week.
Well, so if, you know, that's going to be done by next week, shouldn't that give you plenty of time to move stuff in there so you don't have to rent as much space?
They won't. It doesn't matter. I've got enough. I can probably, some of the stuff, like, I actually got some little things I can probably fit in the one that we already had. So, I do have, and here's the other dumb thing. I probably should have scheduled the reservation for the extended stay from the 29th through June 30th, but I messed up, did it from the 30th to the 30th, so we'll probably have to find a place to stay for a day, because, you know, basically we'll move all the stuff out of here probably the 29th or the 30th, more likely the 29th. So the 29th to the 30th, I'll have to find a place, and that's okay. I mean, we can do one night somewhere else. You know, maybe I might pick a place with a pool right at the place just for the heck of it. But yeah, it's a pain in the ass. But, you know, this will be more flexible. It's what we should have done in the first place, just because of the vagaries with building a home. Never mind all the other bullshit in the world that's going on that's causing delays. Like,
well, at least it's,
Texas,
you know, not 2030.
No, it definitely won't be that. I mean, if you go up on MeWe, Dan, you'll see pictures of the drywall. So, and the one with the angled ceilings there, that's my new space right there where I'll record the show from. Only negative is I don't have a door on that room. But it is upstairs, and you have to go up, climb upstairs to come see me if I'm up there. So, and I'm actually got a print rolling right now, and you probably can't even hear it. We'll talk
actually,
about that.
No,
it's more fun.
Can't hear it at all.
Yep. Yeah, the only thing I can actually hear on it is the fans. The board I put in is a Big Tree Tech SKR, I think it's SKR E3 Mini 1.2. And other than it being a pain in the ass to install the physical pieces, the rest of it was pretty easy. You had to download. I don't know. That's the one thing I have. Well, I guess you can load VS Code on Linux. But that's what Marlin uses to compile VS Code. You can download the Git code. And in my case, what I did was I took they had a lot of pre-done profiles, header files for a lot of the Ender printers, like the Ender 3 is where I started. And I just went into there and modified it for the printer size for my CR10 Mini, and change it in a couple places. Even put a little customization in there, like power it on, it'll say something like CR10 Mini dash Gorkon or something like that. I forget what I put in there, but other than just putting it in, and like, because the way that Creality has the box, that control box designed for this printer is the power supply is all the way at the bottom, that you have to remove that first, and then you pull all the wiring. It's really the easiest way to do it is, so that you don't screw things up, is you basically pull one wire off at a time and then connect it on the new board. The only problem is there's not a lot of room there to do that. So, and then once I got everything on, it went in pretty easy. You got to be very careful of the micro SD slot, because this is actually the second version of that board, because I broke the first one because it was my fault. I just bought another one.
Yeah, well, I've broken the micro SD card slot on mine before, and I just, you know, went in with a soldering iron and fixed it.
Well, I still have the board, so I can probably do that at some point. I just have to go buy one.
But now I don't even use the micro SD card slot. I just use the mini USB.
Well, that was one thought I had, but I didn't know how I can fix it, because I had one little issue with the firmware that I wanted to fix before I buttoned everything up. So, and unfortunately, the way the board works is it looks for the firmware.bin file on the micro SD card on boot up. And if the card slot doesn't work, that doesn't work. So, unless there may have been a way to load it with the USB slot, USB port.
There are multiple ways to fix it, but all of them require a soldering iron.
Yeah, so it's like, buy another one, it was like another $30. Wasn't that expensive, you know?
That's not bad at all.
No, but it does have me starting to think about, well, in my next printer, well, I will say this, when you buy, like if you buy any of the Creality printers, pay attention to when you order it. Look for the silent board. Most of the newer builds of the printers have the silent board already, and it's not going to be a big tree tech. It'll be Creality's version, but who cares?
Well, I am thinking about going by after this next payday to Micro Center and picking myself up an Ender Pro 3. I've heard that the software is better for the Pro 3 than it is for the Ender 3 V2.
Right. On the other thing I want to look for, too, is I want to see if what would be nice is if I'll say the default board that my CR10 Mini came with when I bought it a few years ago didn't have the bootloader in it. You actually had to buy like an Arduino kit and all this other stuff to actually load the bootloader on it before you can actually flash new firmware on it. So when I buy another printer, the other thing I want to look for is make sure that I don't have to do that. Because I'd like running Marlin on it. Marlin is very nice. It's very, very, very similar to what Creality uses. The one thing I like better is, like, for example, when you're rolling through the menu with the dial to select the print, you go down to print from media. You find the file you want, and then you select it, then ask, hey, do you want to print this? The old firmware that was on the original board wouldn't let you do that. It would just start printing it. So if you accidentally selected the wrong one, oops, you got to cancel it and go back out. Well, in this case, I just say cancel before it even tries to print it, and then go pick the right one.
Well, don't you have all the time that it's heating up? Cancel out.
Well, yeah, you can cancel. Yeah, when it's heating it up, you can cancel it out, and that's what I used to do. But now I don't have to do that. It's just much. It's a much smoother experience, much better experience. Plus the other thing the big Tree Tech board supports is something called NeoPixels. So basically, you can attach LED lights to the NeoPixel port. And have LED lights powered from the printer.
Yeah, well, I definitely want to try and get something that I can hook automatic bed leveling up to.
Yeah, I'm looking at more like the CR10 V2 or V3, maybe.
Yeah, that's a little bit more expensive than I was looking at.
Yeah, true. Or potentially a... SLA printer. So for resin, but
yeah, but those usually are smaller.
They are. They are.
And messier.
They are. You gotta have more alcohol too. And I don't mean the kind you drink either.
Well, you might need some extra of that on the side.
If you drink, and I don't, so. But so far, I'm real satisfied. It's been great running this thing. It's very quiet. I've had Zoom sessions going throughout entire days with this thing printing, and nobody even heard it. So, I mean, that's the best thing in the world. So, I used to just roll my eyes when I was in the different groups and think, how can just changing the stepper drivers make a difference? Well, I'm a believer now, totally now. It's like once you try it, you know, you don't want to go back because it's just so much nicer. But now I'm debating, well, what do I want to do when I move? I don't know if I'm going to... I used to have a folding table that I would put the printer on until I got some of the new furniture that is currently in this office right now. I'm debating whether I want to do that or just put the folding table... buy another table, I should say. But we'll see. We'll see. If DeWine pulls my vaccination card out of the lottery and I win $1 million, that things will change a little bit.
Yeah, you'll be getting a different house.
Nah, I don't know if I'd get a different house. I would get cooler stuff to put in the new house.
I'd probably get a different house.
Nah. It's like you get to a certain age, Joe, you just look at these huge houses.
I'd get a bigger house. I'd try to get a different house.
Well, no, I would fix this house up the way I'd wanted to. Like, I'd have them come in and put either granite or quartz counters in my in my kitchen, you know. Right now, I've got Formica going in. But,
because I would have to do a lot to this house to make it the way I want it, so...
Now, see, we're going to have, because I started asking different questions like that I wasn't quite sure of, didn't see anything listed anywhere. He's like, hey, is there going to be a garage? I kind of thought there was going to be a garage door opener because my garage door doesn't have, like, the hardware to actually lock the door, you know? So yes, it's gonna have a garage door with a keypad actually. So like if you go out the right and take your key, then you can just punch the keypad into the garage and open the garage up that way. And then I guess technically you can leave the garage door unlocked if you wanted to, but I probably never will. But just because I've known people who've had their garages broke into before, so. But, I mean, the garage is fully drywalled, too. Everything's fully drywalled. My laundry room's fully drywalled. There's no rafters anywhere now. And I'm fine with that. So. But, so, there's something else was talking about. Oh, yeah, I passed my AWS certification.
Oh, congratulations.
Yep. Kind of some tips or tricks to people. There's multiple ways that you can practice for it. AWS has, I think they'll charge you like $12 to take a practice exam or something like that. And I'm not 100% sure whether their practice exam would be exactly like what I took. But my company has accounts. In fact, I'm still keeping the account active. I got actually going to probably in the next week or so start studying Jenkins or Ansible or both, actually, so I can start working on some of the automation projects that I want to work on. And all that will be done through a Cloud Guru, which I believe is also the same thing as Linux Academy. And my company's paying for that account. We have multiple accounts there. So when I was practicing for I have my certification is AWS Certified Cloud Practitioner is what the name of it is. It's base, the base certification. There are other ones that I probably will look at, like AWS Certified Architect and stuff like that that I want to look at. But right now, I'm gonna probably for the rest of this year is concentrate on some of the automation things, because as we go on, things are changing. The whole goal with us is we don't want to like if I have a script, I want to send the script to the servers via Jenkins. I don't want to have to go to the machine and enter the script in myself. So things like that, or like actually, here's a really good one that would have I could have, if I knew enough Jenkins, I probably could have set this up pretty quickly in Jenkins. Was we did an upgrade, upgrade of a component called Unidata, and we discovered that our client actually still had stuff that was globally cataloged and technically not supported. You're not supposed to be globally cataloging anything in our product anymore. You're supposed to be cataloging it directly in that environment's Unidata catalog. So, but I did the upgrade and they had registration that wasn't working. And the fastest way to do that was to copy the catalog from the old version to the new version. Well, unfortunately, I had to figure out, in test, I probably could have done this. In production, I don't know if I could have done it or not. In production, it didn't really matter. Production actually had far less to move, thankfully. But so basically what I was doing was in the non-prod environment, I go into – basically the catalog is in like user UD81/sys/CTLG. That's the old version, and it was going to user UD82. And because – the product itself delivers its own stuff in the global catalog that you don't want to overwrite, I had to be very careful and judicious moving the things. So in non-prod, all of their stuff that was cataloged was owned by a user other than root. So that actually made it easy to identify which ones I needed to move. All right. So then I would basically did an ls-al, piped it to grepd for that user, and then auct the last column off of it, so that I had a list of file names, and then I used that as my argument inside the cp command to copy it to the right directory, and that got things over much quicker than doing it with wildcards and stuff like that. Learn how to use auct, folks. But anyway, that would have been really easy to code up in something. I could have had it done a lot quicker if I could have done it with Jenkins. The other side of that coin is how often am I going to be doing that? Hopefully never. But moral of the story is automation is going to be hugely important as we keep adding more and more clients, and the ability to hire extra people that know what I know is going to start to dwindle as I get older and as the user base for the system admin perspective gets older.
Oh,
because you gotta think most of the people that I work with are in their 40s or high, or older, so we're not getting any younger.
Speaking of hiring new people, I just had one of my coworkers that had volunteered to work second shift while this other person is away at OTC for the Air Force Reserves for 2 months, tell me that they're going to another team well before that. And I have a person out on medical that looks to be rather long-term at this point. Also, second shift. So,
yay.
Currently, I have like two people scheduled for four people's worth of work on the second shift.
Nice.
And
terrific.
Three people scheduled for five people's work on first shift. So, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I gotta. Oh, and but we'll be getting one person added to the team, at least temporarily, from the bench. Although we've had absolutely zero luck with people we've pulled off the bench. So we'll see how that goes.
But maybe you get a winner this time.
Well, it's not a matter of getting away with it, but usually what happens is people get put on the bench when their previous team has decided that this person sucks and we can't work with them anymore.
No, I meant you get a winner, not get away with it. Maybe you get a winner.
Hopefully we get a winner.
Yep. But to go back to finish the certification discussion, at Cloud Guru had a bunch of practice exams. That's essentially, they had like videos I could watch, and I did watch quite a bit of them. But what ended up working for me was kind of doing like I did the amateur radio exams, and just take a bunch of practice tests through a Cloud Guru. And what I did discover is that was good enough to pass, but I did also discover that the questions I actually got on the exam weren't exactly identical. So, but fortunately I learned enough that I was able to get by, because I get that one question on the test that I never had a practice question on, and that was on AWS Artifact, which is basically just like where a lot of their documentation lives. So, but I took the exam with Pearson View. I took it at home, so I didn't have to go anywhere to take it. The only kind of caveat with that, if you do the same, before you log in for the exam, turn off any other computer that you have in the room. You know, in fact, and put it away, you know, so that they can't see it, because you basically have to take your webcam. Like if you have a webcam, like I have a wired webcam, I guess I could have picked up my laptop and moved it around the room, but I had to clear my desk up. Like they even made me clear off, like I had a couple cases. Like I have a glasses case that has my computer glasses in it, and then the normal case, the case for the glasses I wear all the time, is sitting right next to it. I'm sitting under the monitor. They made me move those out of my reach too. So it's kind of a pain in the ass. And the whole time you're on the test, you are on a webcam. So in fact, you can see yourself. You're looking back at yourself as you take the test. But other than that, it was actually pretty interesting. And then one of the perks you get as becoming an AWS certified person is that they have their own little swag store that you can go buy stuff in. And I actually bought a couple little pads and stuff after I passed the exam the next day, but those should get here soon. But crazy stuff. But I highly recommend it. If you have to do a lot of AWS work like I do, go for it. It helps. I'm assuming Google probably has the same thing too somewhere, which you know, just depends on if your company values those certifications or not. Ours does, so I have to take them. So no biggie. Kind of fun actually. Dan doesn't take no certification tests because he knows it all, right?
You know, see, that's this is the thing. If like, I mean, I would benefit from certification to learn it in better detail. I you know, absolutely, but it's like I jump around so much, it goes crazy. You know what I mean? So it's like, what do I do? Yeah, it's like, oh, it's great to get certified in like Google Cloud.
Right.
Google Cloud. What is it? Google Cloud. Google Compute.
We'll just call it Google Compute
Cluster. It's
like, great to get certified in that, and then I won't touch it for like a month and a half, 2 months.
Right.
You know, like, oh.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's like we was in a team call last week, and the boss said I had the most diverse ticket load of anyone on the team. That means I pretty much take whatever they'll give me, or like now see, and in day
you
like,
take all the
I'm
garbage
on,
nobody else wants.
Pretty much. That's like this week. Well,
all the things no one has seen before and leaves in the queue because they have no clue.
Yeah, that's partially true there, yeah. But yeah, it's just... it's like I'm installing a new payment provider, the first time anybody's ever done it in the cloud, in our cloud, today. And I go and I run the installer as their the product's documentation has. It's not one of ours. It's actually a third party. And of course, it didn't work right off the bat, you know.
It never does, right?
No.
Did you get it working?
No, I actually put out an email to that company's support because I'm like, I don't know where to go from here. But it's basically, their product is like a customization of our product.
Right.
So our product installation, I got that installed. Okay, no problem. Okay, because that I've done that about a bazillion times. You know, I don't need. I know how to do that like by heart. You know, I don't really need to even read the directions to do it anymore. All right. But their thing. So basically, what they did was they get up use a Microsoft Deploy. I think it is. MS Deploy is the name of the EXE. So they write a script that takes their customization of our code and then overlays it on top of our code, okay, so that their product can work, right? So I run that. It ran through. There was no errors in the script. The script ran through and did what it's supposed to do, but then I go back to the main web page, and I'm getting a can't read the web config file.
Nice.
So, yeah. So I'm like, okay. So now what do I do? And you know, so I emailed the tech contact with them, and I said, here's what I got. And I asked them because their directions all, it's really funny. Their directions all say that it has to be version 1.18 or higher. Well, 1.18 hasn't been in support for like 2 or 3 years. Okay. So I'm like, does your product work with version 1.31, which is the version we're installing right now? You know, I don't probably won't hear about it for a day or so, but.
That's a nice vendor for you.
Yeah. Well, and the whole goal, this one is, it's a, another payment provider. It's not one of the ones that, like, we have like two or three that basically out of the box our product is designed to work with. This one is one that's a little bit different in that it's mostly for foreign students. So like if you're from Europe, instead of paying for your tuition in US dollars, you can pay for it in euros. So, and of course they had to customize things in order to make that happen, you know, but you know, hey, whatever. But
that's two things I don't like working with: payment software,
right,
and authentication software.
Oh yeah.
I don't like working with those.
I'm on both the I'm with you on both of those. 'Cause it's like I'm also doing the same thing with another client, not payment provider, but authentication.
With Okta? What are you using?
We're using SAML.
Okay.
Single sign on, and there, and basically.
Wait, who's the provider?
The provider is Azure.
Oh, okay.
the Azure webpage you get like with Office 365, you know?
Right.
Which we have other clients that have used it, fortunately, you know, but then like, in fact, I had a meeting, the boss ended up, really, she needed to be on the call because I'm basically pointing out, I just see all sorts of holes with how we do this project. So basically, we have an IDM team, IAM team, where they meet with a client and they get their specifics about the Azure stuff and they get the signing certs and stuff like that. And they set up WSO2 to work with. Application to use it. That's what we do. Okay. So he just creates a ticket so that we go supposedly go do our thing, but then we have no information on what he did, what users were supposed to use, etc., etc., etc. You know? So we have to guess. So in this case, the web piece, the self-service pieces of that, we normally would use one login, and for the other, for the UI, the employee login, they use a different login. Okay, they enabled that one for all of it, but they didn't put our test user that we use for the self-service pieces in the ADFS so that we can use those ones. So I enable it, and I can't get a test login to work. And other things too, like I gotta go and modify the web config so that it can accept a lowercase characters, which it's always something with that. Like the last time I got it working in a they haven't moved it to prod yet, but the last time I got it working in a non-prod, I find they used a different authentication provider, and that it was a simple SAML page, which I believe is a PHP based thing. All right, and whatever, I don't know if it's the product itself that client used or if they wrote the page on their own. Either way, their page is only designed so it only takes numerical numbers because that's how they log in. Never mind that my login has characters in it, alpha characters. So I had to create another user in order for to get our logins to work again. in authentication, there's always some bullshit like that. There's details missing everywhere. And those details are what kill you. And why I hate them too. You know, I used to say that about SSL. I hate creating certificates. That stuff's easy compared to this stuff.
Yeah, I don't like dealing with the payment and the authentication stuff because then you're the one that's on the hook for all that when it goes live and
yep.
And taking money and managing money, that's such a risk. It's not a fun thing.
And that's why like when I with our clients like the normal like products like if you were to choose what is supported by us, PayPal, which is not really PayPal, it's more or less VeriSign's credit authorization stuff that PayPal bought many, many years ago. So it's not like PayPal you would use for eBay. It's different, okay? It's true credit card provider. So that's one provider. Then there's one called ACI, or used to be called Official Payments, that we also support. And then there's also TouchNet. And of the three that we deal with, and these are the ones that are directly supported by our product, okay? As in, we don't have to install any custom code in order to make it work, all right? And of the ones that I like the best, I like ACI the best, because basically, once you get our payment gateway installed and they give you the codes that you use to put in that, okay? There's no logins, it's just their codes, okay? So then you give them your URLs and they enable things on their firewall and in their product to accept payments from those URLs, and that's it. There's no login to change passwords for or any of that kind of crazy crap. PayPal's the other way. They have to have their password that you need. Usually it's the same password that you can use to log into PayPal Manager. I don't want that freaking password because that means I can change all sorts of things with how they accept payments in PayPal, and I don't want that, and I don't think anybody in our team wants it either. You know, we do in some cases record it and put it in a vault, which is what we use for our passwords now, but it's just one of those things where what I like to do is I like to schedule a call with the client and do it. Because then at that point, once it's in there, you can even upgrade the thing. All you got to do is make sure you have a good backup, but you can even upgrade from one version to the next, and it usually just works. You know, but you're right. I mean, there's a lot of things that responsibilities there, and that's money. That's what your company's taking money in. I'm surprised we don't have anybody asking us to accept Apple Pay or Google Pay now. That's coming, though. I know that's coming. But I don't know about you. When I go to the store, if I have the option to pay with Google Pay, I do.
I've never tried doing that other than...
Oh, it works great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It works at some places, and other places it simply doesn't. Well, I assume a lot more places have picked it up recently because it's
they have
a tap-to-pay system.
Yep.
But you can also use something like Samsung Pay to do the same thing.
Yep. Well, and a lot of your debit cards and credit cards that you get now, you can take that card and tap to pay with it, too.
Well, so. I know my bank will generate a card number specifically for Google Pay.
Yeah, that's usually how it works, I think.
Well, it won't be my regular card number.
Right.
So if something does happen to Google Pay and they get hacked and all the numbers get stolen or whatever, it's a simple matter of generate a new number. And I don't have to worry about swinging by the bank to pick up a new card.
Truth. But that's the interesting thing that nowadays, like, for example, if I lost my card, I can walk into my bank is Chase. I can walk into any of those, not just get a replacement card, but get a replacement card with my name imprinted on it.
Yeah, but if you want the specialty picture for the front of it, then you have to wait. If you want the standard card, that's easy to get.
Yep. But they used to, Chase, which used to be Bank One, used to put your picture, you'd have the option, you could put your picture on the front of the card too, which that's no longer an option. They don't do that anymore, so not sure why, but
I know to jump through a whole bunch of hoops online, I can get whatever picture I want so long as it's not found to be copyrighted put on the front of my card.
Right.
Or
sometimes you can do that.
And as long as it's not salacious.
Yeah, like I think my son, when he set up, I'm trying to think if he used Chase or if he used Huntington when he set his bank account up. But I think he had the option of getting the Ohio State logo on his debit card, and that's what he did. Because he wanted that. And I'm like, okay, whatever. It's your money. but yeah, those are pain. Well, and then it goes towards too, like nowadays, and this is kind of where my month in limbo is going to be kind of a pain in the ass, because most cards, be it your debit card or a credit card, are going to want to have like your zip code to match before they do things. So certain things, what I ended up doing for the first time in my entire life, I rented a PO box for 3 months. Never had one in my whole life before, but when I go to make this move, that's what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to switch of the things I absolutely have to have in the next month shipped to me, I'm going to have it go to that box. The only exception that might be to that would be like a buy on Amazon, if I buy on anything on Amazon in that month, which I probably won't. But
you mean you don't order something once a day from Amazon?
I actually don't know.
I do. I swear.
It seems like it sometimes. Well, that's like I got like kind of a fun thing I just got. We have like a point system thing at work. Yeah, whenever you do a good job, somebody can give you points, right? Called Bonusly is what the product that we use. All right. It used to be the old system that we had. When you got a certain amount of points, you can just go through their little store that's connected right to the system and buy something. But Bonusly just lets me get Amazon gift cards. So I got a gift card, a $25 gift card from Amazon, and I bought an Eagle Moss model of the Enterprise D. And they actually just got here today. It's pretty nice, actually. I'm going to have to start buying more of them because the only thing, they don't give you a box or anything to put it on, which that's okay, you know. But they did give you a neat little book that's like full-color book that goes with it that tells you all about the Starship. Not that I'd need to know much more about the Enterprise D, but, you know. But it was still fun. It's a neat little include they had in the book. So, I think that's going to be the first of many. I think I'm going to try and get all the Enterprises first and then branch out and get things like the Reliant and so on and so forth, because it would look pretty neat on a shelf in my office. So,
yeah.
But that's my first Eagle Moss thing I bought. But that may or may not be – I don't know if it's going to be the last thing. Like my dog will get meds from Chewy while we're there, so I'll probably just go ahead and change my address to the P.O. box for that, because that's one thing that comes on a monthly basis. But what I ended up doing with my like next week is when Harry's would have shipped me my normal shipment for my shaving stuff. And I get more than shaving stuff with them now, too. I get, like, almost everything, like deodorant and body wash I can get through them, too. But I just went and changed my address and pushed it off till July. I said, July or end of June or beginning of July or somewhere around there. So I'll still have time to move it around, but I just officially changed my address with them to the house address already. So that way it's already done. And luckily, Harry's, most of their stuff now I can pretty much get anywhere now. So I may even debate. I have to sit there and like do the calculations and see if it's cheaper to just have me buy it at places like Walmart and Sam's Club.
Harry's Dollar Shave Club for like a decade now.
You can get that now at the store too.
I haven't seen that at any of the stores around here. But, you know, $6 a month, I get a month's worth of razors. And considering how much I'm shaving these days, I have a huge backlog of the things, so I'm probably never going to run out.
But, yeah, so that I changed over. And, you know, I can probably just skip. Actually, what I probably could do, because the hotel we're at is like right across from Walmart, where Walmart and Staples and all that stuff is. Staples has an Amazon box thing there, so I can probably, if I need to order something, I probably just have them send it to that, and I can just walk across the street and go get it. You know. And the dangerous part is for me for this exile is. Starbucks is also walking distance away too. So, if I want to get me a big old Trent cold brew, I can go do that. That's $5 coffee, man. But it is delicious. So there's that. But just in general, though, if you're kind of living a little nomad-y kind of lifestyle, a lot of things aren't set up nicely for that, which I'm kind of, you know, that's kind of what we're doing for about a month, but we'll see how that works out. You know, it just makes me wonder how these people who live in vans deal with it. So, living in a van down by the river.
Klaatu, right? Back in the day.
Wouldn't surprise if there's one person in my that I know right now in my life who wouldn't surprise me if they did it. It would be your daughter,
Paige.
I could see Paige doing that. I really could.
Living in a, no, she's. I don't think she would. That would last all of a 2 or 3 days before she'd be knocking on our door.
And she'd come to your door to get showers. I'm just kidding. I love you, Paige. Not that she listens, but you know. But I wouldn't mind building. I've been watching a couple guys are doing their van build outs, either like van upgrades or stuff like that, and that just interests me watching them guys do it. Actually, the one thing I came across on YouTube, I saw a dude trying to remember. I think he's in California. Yeah, he's in California. He's living. I'm not lying. He's living in a Nissan Versa. That's a tiny car, dude.
Well, is that a function of the cost of living in California?
I would say probably in that case, yeah.
Or is he just doing that to save
that's probably a whole lot
money.
Cheaper.
Well, yeah, that's probably, a function of the cost of living, yeah.
Well, California is ridiculous. I mean, what I pay for either this apartment or what I'm going to pay for the month in the hotel, that probably pays for something smaller than the hotel room. Maybe. California's a little ridiculous on that stuff. It's like my house to Link probably looks like a mansion. It feels like one to me almost. It's bigger. It's 600 or 700 feet square feet more than our old house. So, and I don't have to mow the grass. That's awesome. No work, no grass mowing for Joel anymore. No landscaping. No tearing up overgrowth and chipping it in a wood chipper. And I ain't saying that wasn't kind of fun, because it kind of was, but it is backbreaking work. And there's a reason why I am an IT guy.
You got rid of your yard work. I just bought a new lawnmower a couple weeks, 2 weeks ago.
Oh yeah, what'd you get?
I just got a battery powered one.
See, my other... if we were still at the house, I'd probably have considered that.
My the previous one I had it for a good 5 years now, and it still works all right. But it was corded, and. And I was like, I need to get a new blade for it, because this blade is all messed. You know, it's and they don't make them anymore. Like, and I can't get a blade for it. And so I was like, you know, I'm sick and tired of dealing with the cord. Why not just get one with the battery?
One, right?
Yeah, get the battery one, which I should have bought to begin with. And this one, you know, so I have the other one as a backup. And this one, it works great, you know. I do have to hustle though, because
doesn't last for your whole yard.
I can get my whole yard done if I don't putz around.
Okay. But, like,
so now the first.
But it's not like
a
Ryobi
battery either.
It's not like the Ryobi that takes 18-volt batteries and you can just swap them out.
I can, yes. I could. I have to get new. I have to get another set of batteries, though.
And those so aren't cheap.
Right. Yeah, so no, I only just I just started using the first time I took it out, the grass was a little higher than I usually let it, and I got through mm-hmm. like 80% of the yard before the batteries need to be charged, and they charge pretty fast,
yeah. like
an hour or so, right? So then when I went and did it last weekend, I got through the whole yard without having to worry. But, you know, one battery still was like almost halfway. The other one was down on the last mark. So I'm going to see how it works out. Maybe I'll get another set of batteries.
I'm just going to keep paying somebody to mow my lawn.
I
used to pay Luke. I didn't mind it too much, but our lawn at the old place is all the ground was always kind of rough, you know, because just they went nuts with the amount of gravel and rock they poured in for the foundation, you know. So, but that's actually a kind of a cool thing. Like I think did I tell you guys that, when they poured foundation, they put initially put the pad for the screen room on the wrong side of the house. Yeah, they did that. So to move on, though, they just poured another pad. Okay, so the old pad was still there. And just before our drywall conference, like a week or so before the drywall conference, I sent a message to our superintendent. I said, is there any way they can keep that pad there instead of tearing it up? And he's like, I don't see why not. Let me check on that for you. And I'm like, okay. So last week when I went for the pre-drywall conference, and they said, hey, we can leave that there for you, and we're going to do that. And I'm like, good. I figured it'd save you guys some labor. because my idea is my grill's going on that bad boy.
One thing I do, I do not like to weed.
Oh, I don't either. Weed eating sucks.
I don't know why. I don't like that. I don't mind pulling weeds in the garden, but I just don't. Ooh.
Yep.
Not my thing. I don't know.
I almost prefer, like, I've had, at the house, I had both an electric weed eater and a gas one. That's our current one. The current one's actually a four-cycle one, so it's just straight up gas. No oil mixing, I think. But I'm trying to think of it. I ended up giving that to my brother-in-law, and I'm going to give my mower to my sister-in-law because they need it more than we do, and we just won't ever have to mow grass again. But fortunately, my grill didn't make it when I tried to take it off the deck. It just kind of fell apart, so I just carted it out the curb, and the metal scrappers came and got it. But so for a grill, that's probably one of the first things, other than things like blinds and stuff, that we're gonna buy for the house, because dude, I like tasty meats, you know. Who doesn't?
You like tasting whose meats?
I said I like tasty meats, not tasting somebody's meats.
Oh, okay.
So I'm gonna get right now I'm debating on whether I want to get the Pit Boss Austin XL that it's a pellet grill, or they have a smaller version of it. So I'm not sure which one I'm going to get.
Just get the egg.
That's another thought too. Although the egg I would probably have delivered, because that son of a bitch is heavy. But
just build a fire pit.
Well, that actually might happen. Because the way it's arranged is I got the screen room on the left-hand side of the house, and it has a screen door that will open out towards where that pad is. So between the pad where the grill will be and the screen room, I'm probably going to look at getting one of those fire pits. So, like the ones, you know, the ones with the metal mesh things. That's a thought, but, you know, it sounds almost like too much work.
A shovel and some bricks. That's all you
need. Yeah. But
know, yeah, those metal ones, they always rust out.
Yeah, I know, but...
But they're cheap.
Yeah, they're not that cheap.
You can't buy another one.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah. But, see, the Pit Boss Austin XL will fit up to, like, 100 burgers on the grill, like, at one time.
If you make your fire pit big enough, it will, too.
You can put a grate over, too, I know, but... No, I like going with the pellet grill because I can not only just grill with it, but I can also smoke with it. So that's probably why I'm going to go with that. Although, like I said, I don't know if I'm going to go with the XL or not. That's the one my brother has, and he really likes it. And I think it has like the hopper will hold like 31 pounds of pellets. So, but. Anything's going to make a meat taste better than what it tastes like coming off a propane grill. So, we shall see. Probably going to get that. Don't have signing up yet, but hopefully that comes in the next week or so. But that stuff doesn't bother me. Siding won't take but a day to put on. The other stuff inside is much more important. That's going to take a much longer time. And I pray and hope that there's no delay on the appliances. Which, you talk about appliances. Now, here's the things that I have to start thinking about is how can I cook? We have a kitchen in the extended stay. But it's only got two burners on it, and I believe we do not have a oven. So
you don't have an oven?
No, no.
Wait, are they putting one in?
No. At the extended stay, not in the house.
The house has an oven.
House is getting a gas stove. So, right. But no, the extended stay. So because I don't want
burner easy enough.
Yeah. Well, I think what I'm gonna do. At the extended stay, I might just go ahead and throw my air fryer in there. Just because it's interesting. The place we're going is Candlewood Suites. They actually have this like locker downstairs where you can go. Like if you want to borrow a crock pot for the day, you can go do that. So. That's something I'm thinking about. You know, is do I want to just take a risk with not being able to get that stuff, or do I just want to take my air fryer? Because it's not that I baked a lot. You know, I didn't really bake a lot of things in the oven. You know, so we can probably be okay for the few weeks that we're going to be in there, just with those two burners. And they do have grills out in back of the suites that I can go borrow. So I can take some hamburgers and steaks and stuff down there and grill them on that. But
yeah.
So
my guess is that Uber Eats is going to get a lot of your money.
Well, they already do. But at least now I'm going to be a little closer to some of my favorite restaurants, and we can just go across the street if we want to. Like Charlie's is starting to become one of our favorites. I don't know why. They're delicious, but
who?
I had some Jack in the Box today.
Oh, Charlie's.
Yeah.
It's the way I guess the best way I could describe it is a little bit like TGI Fridays, but not as
without the flair.
Trendy. Yeah.
Without the flair. I don't do flair anymore, anyway, as far as I know.
But some of my favorite things, they got cedar plank salmon there that's delicious. I've gotten their Italian, they call it a club sandwich, but it's a lot like an Italian sub, and it's pretty good too. But I like getting they have a grilled chicken with a Carolina Gold barbecue sauce on it, and that's delicious. And I can literally drink that sauce. I shouldn't, because it's a lot of sugar in that, but I don't go there that often. But oh, and then there's also Texas Roadhouse across the street too, which is like my favorite steakhouse.
Across the street from your new house? Is it Texas
Roadhouse? No. No. Apart from the extended stay. No, there ain't nothing by my house. Well, there's stuff. We're close enough. Like, we're about 5 minutes away from that, where that hotel is where the house is. All right, so it's not that far away. But, so, I imagine we might, when we get closer, we'll probably be going over every other day to check it out. We are so ready to get in that thing. Now, the main road going into, like, the road before the road that our development starts on, as you're driving on that road, like, right after you make the turn off of the previous main road, there's a deer crossing sign there. So there's some wildlife out there, but... Gotta remember, that probably used to be farmland where they're building our house, so... But I think there's another development going in across the street, but it's far, far behind. I'm actually glad that we signed with who we did sign with, because the first builder we looked at, we drive past that the development the whole time. And the section where our house would have been, they don't even have ground broken most of it. So, but DR Horton's going crazy and building quite a bit, as much as they can. They've also changed how they do things too, and now they're not selling a house until it gets to where ours was last week with a pre drywall. So you can still pick things like colors and stuff with any home you buy with them, but you can't pick things like structural things. You know, it's what got what it's got, and that's it. You know, so if you decided on a house and it didn't have a screen room, well, you have to build that on your own later. But at least I'll have electric out in the screen room. I think I want to put a projector out there in the warmer months. In a Roku on it or something.
I have a couple of projectors sitting around here.
Mm-hmm.
And that set of stuff I bought, and they work perfect.
Nice.
I'm saying if you want one, you should let me know.
Sure, maybe. We'll see. See, I'm debating on whether I want to, if I get a projector, if I want to get, like, just one that's just a projector and attach something to the HDMI port, or they have a lot of projectors now that have basically just an Android tablet built into it. So, I don't know. I will say it would be kind of nice to use a remote, and those kinds with the Android tablet, I don't think you got a remote with them. Necessarily. Some might. And those ones also tend to be more expensive as well. But that might not happen until late summer. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just ready for this stuff to be over. The only kind of annoying thing is once we finally do get in there, there's whole sections they haven't built yet. So there's going to be like maybe 8 houses. So it'll be quiet, but then kind of not, because they'll be building new houses. So, but at least at night it'll be quiet. Quiet's good.
Yeah.
Oy, oy, oy.
Any more Circle CI stuff? Or whatever that stuff is?
Oh, man. No, we got it up and working.
He doesn't want to talk about it anymore.
Well, it's just right now there's really not much more to talk about. I mean, it does what I said it does. It tests, it builds, it tests, and it deploys. So I don't think it's as flexible as like GitHub Actions or Jenkins. And maybe that's because it's not as widely used as those two technologies. It really feels like GitHub Actions may have borrowed a lot from CircleCI. There's a lot of similarities in there, but there's a lot more flexibility in the GitHub Action workflow.
Right.
Interesting. But CircleCI is specifically what it does. It builds, it tests, and it deploys.
Yep.
GitHub Actions is like, you do whatever the hell you want to do. You know, figure it out.
There you go.
So I've been off of CircleCI now for a week, and I've been back on GitHub Actions. I'm doing a lot of stuff. We're moving our workflows out of Jenkins into GitHub Actions. There's a lot of stuff to figure out. So I enjoy it very much. It's just, it's always the eternal problem of trying to adequately test this stuff without impacting production.
Right. Well, it's one of those things where I wish that we could do some of that automated testing with our stuff, but a lot of times we can't because we are, you know, we have our cloud division has essentially two versions. We have SaaS, which basically that's kind of what they do, but then every client has the same thing for the most part. The same code. There's no. The only kind of customizations that are allowed are what I would call little C customization. Like for example, a print subroutine. You know, to print checks. You know, they would have that customized. All right, but the actual product itself is not customized whatsoever. Our problem is we have clients doing things like for example, one of our schools is in South Carolina, and they've got a rule that on I think on their financial aid page they have to have the grade point average on it for whatever reason, so they got a customization for that. Okay, they got, and others have customizations that are, well, that should never have been brought into the managed cloud in the first place. So things like this globally cataloged stuff, which is technically not supported, we support kind of because, well, they brought it into the cloud with them. You know, should they have? No. But that's what happened. So how can I automate a test when things are never going to be the same? You know what I mean? It's not like I can I'd have to basically write tests for every client. And even then, I would have to have a known set of data somewhere. And that's where it becomes more difficult. Now, synthetics are a little easier to deal with, and that's what we use Datadog for. And I'm starting to get more into Datadog, into like some of the things we're looking at doing is like we want to write some modules for Datadog so that we can see inside Java in our Java processes to see, well, how much memory is being used by that Java process specifically and things like that, you know. But it's like, unless you write everything from soup to nuts, it's really difficult to have like a continuous integration where you're testing. Now, we're going to start working with pipelines within AWS to do some things, but I'm not exactly sure what we're going to be doing with that. Now, another thing we are starting to implement is ALBs. So I'm going to move a lot of our elastic load balancers over to application load balancers, which I believe we're going to, at that point, then take some of the hosts that we have and start migrating them to to where the different web hosts in the ALB will be hosted in different regions. So and then basically whatever region you're coming in from, you're going to go to that to a certain server versus going to whichever server, you know. So more getting more cloud thing centric on that kind of stuff. So, but pipelines and then Kubernetes containers are going to start to come into play too. So exciting times. And I mean, here's the question that I have for you, though, Dan. I think within the next year or so, I'm going to be up for a new laptop. All right. Currently using a Dell. And I'm debating whether I want to go with that or if I want to go with a Mac.
Depends especially on what you want.
Well, especially now since I'm only going to known VPNs. I'm not going to Joe Client VPN. I'm going either to Fortinet or to AnyConnect.
Are you looking for something portable?
Is this at work or is this for your personal?
For work. For work. And we do get, like, the Mac that we get would be the Mac Pro with the Touch Bar.
Then if work's paying for it, get the Dell XPS 15.
Well, we wouldn't get the Dell XPS 15. We get the whatever the workstation, the Dell Precision workstation thing, whatever that is.
No, they're not bad.
No, they're not, but I kind of want something with a better keyboard.
That's why you get an external keyboard.
Personally, if work, like, if work would be like, hey, we don't care if you install Linux on it, I'd get a Dell. Otherwise, I'd go with the fucking Mac.
Right. I know. Well, see, that's the other Windows thing, too, right? Yeah. Like, at least I can play around with the Unix stuff on the Mac, you know. Granted, you can with Windows now. I mean, you can run Windows subsystem for Linux on it.
Well, if they let you install it.
They do.
That's cool.
So, the only thing is, I think the best one for WSL is Ubuntu. I don't think Fedora. I have to look and see if Fedora has an app on there yet for that. I don't think they do. So, and that would be better if I can have Fedora on there. That would be better because that'd be closer to our Linux boxes, which are a mix of RHEL 6 and 7. So,
well, guys, it's getting close to that time.
It is. It's almost 10 o'clock. It's almost 10 o'clock. I have exactly 2 more shows in the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be in the extended stay, which at that point I'll probably be using my Surface to do the show because I don't know if I want to take my big ass laptop with me. My Linux laptop is huge. I wouldn't do that.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Not enough space on the hard disk as it is.
Oh, size hard disk? Is it an RT?
It's by 12.
Did you get an RT?
No. They don't even make RTs anymore. No, it's Surface Pro 6, but it's got 512 meg. 512 gig.
That is more than enough size to put Linux on.
Except
there.
For I've got all of Creative Cloud on, so not really. I could, but I don't know if I want to. But I could take my my wife's old laptop. I could take that instead. It's a little bit smaller because hotel rooms like tiny compared to this apartment. No, I thought this apartment was tiny. But at least I don't have to move any furniture into that place.
I took my Dell Latitude tablet with me when I went to Florida, and I have to say it held up pretty darn well. Running nice. Linux.
Now I'll run... did read an article about the new iMacs. Those come with a keyboard with a fingerprint sensor on it, and it's pretty much useless unless you use it with that iMac or a Mac that has that security enclave on it that it uses.
Yeah, at this
point, I don't know why they do that, but
at this point, I don't think I would mind picking up like a 2012 Mac and putting Linux on it.
Yeah, it's just got some places.
High quality screen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You can get the i7 version, so.
I never really liked running Linux on Mac because I hated that whole freaking.
Yep.
keyboard problem that you always ended up having. Because they have.
I'm gonna say, and on the ones with the touch bar, that's not gonna work too well.
Throw that right in the garbage.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
I turned the touch bar off on mine. My touch bar is just the function keys, and it sucks because the escape key is not in the place where the escape key is supposed to be, and I keep hitting like right next to it,
And it's not a key either.
No, it's
so
not.
So if you try to hit go up and hit it with your pinky, it feels weird too.
I don't think I would get one with a touch bar.
Yeah. If I don't think I have a choice of getting an Air. I think you have to get that, and they have to give the bigger one with the Max with the bigger screen too. I couldn't get the 13-inch one, but see the one absolutely wonderful thing though about the Max is the Thunderbolt ports. So, because some of the Thunderbolt docks are pretty interesting now.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'd rather deal with the freaking Windows. What is the bar called? Crap, what is the bar?
Touch bar.
The touch bar than deal with Windows.
Yeah. See, that's all actually right, the other thing, too.
I have a good one, Joe. Is,
yeah, I'm going to get going. Talk to you later.
Yeah, we'll get going soon, too. I'll just the one thing that I've been struggling with on my Windows laptop lately is we use a remote desktop manager. So that we can have more than one. Basically, it's a way to have tabbed RDP sessions.
Right.
And that sucker's been crashing left and right on me lately. I'll have three or four tabs open, and RDM will just crash, and I disconnect from everything.
Well, can't you? You can run that on OS X, and isn't there one that's on Linux too?
Yeah, Remina is on there, but see, I have to use either Windows or Mac. So.
No, yeah, I know. Because I know I have a remote desktop for when I have to go into a jump station on prem to do something on a Windows box. But I very rarely use that. I use it like once every couple of months when I have to go in and change my password.
Right. Makes me wonder why we don't do with Amazon. You have Amazon Workspaces. It makes me wonder why we don't go to that, because then at that point it doesn't really matter. But
what do you mean?
I don't know. Well, Workspaces would basically is desktop as a service.
Oh.
So basically an RDP into work session and work on that all day. Actually, yeah, that would kind of suck now I'm thinking about it. I don't know how much those Workspaces run. I know that you don't have to, like, if you go with that, because it's desktop as a service, Windows OS patching you don't have to deal with. Amazon does that for you. So, and you can also do with Amazon Workspaces. You can also have Linux desktops as well.
Well, what is the selling point of that? I mean, like,
I think it's more or less for things people like my wife. That's how she works. Is she has like a remote. Kind of, well, more or less like a Citrix.
Like Citrix, kind of.
Yeah, very similar to that is what she has. All right, and it's quite literally almost the same kind of deal with Amazon Workspaces. So basically, it helps. I think it helps them protect their network because all their work-at-home people, they don't, you know, unless you like your management. They're not paying, you know, for the company my wife works with, they're not paying for you to have a laptop, you know.
Right.
Not like my company who pays for everyone to have a laptop, you know. In fact, in the office spaces that we did have before the pandemic, not exactly sure how that works. If you had an assigned table, desktop you had to go to, or an assigned desk you had to go to, or if you could just grab any one of them, because almost all of them had like multiple monitors and a dock. So you just plug your, like in in today's case, you'd plug your Thunderbolt cable into your Dell or Apple laptop, and then you'd have two screens, you know. So they were kind of designed so that you, because nobody had desktops at my company. So that's kind of like the interesting thing that we talked about. As now, my company initially said July, but now they're saying September for return to office for people who do like working out of their office. But they're kind of going more towards having more people work remote than they had before. We were already 40% remote anyway before the pandemic. So I think the world is going to completely change, not because people are afraid still from the pandemic, but more because it's cheaper for the company because they don't have to have all that real estate for an office. So what I think in the very near future, companies, instead of having this massive cube farm, they'll have like four or five cubes for visiting people and like a couple conference rooms, and that's it. You know, I think that's probably what'll happen. So I think commercial real estate for regards to office spaces is going to change drastically. And not because people are still afraid of viruses and stuff, but because it's just the virus is going to cause companies to really look at that. Do you really need to have people in the office anymore?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think in cases like, for example, in our cases, the answer is no. Because the one nice thing about working from home is at least you can shut Slack off if you have to get into something heads down. you know what I mean? It's not like when you're at an office and you're sitting at your cube, some idiot will come to talk to you about something and distract you, you know? So I think a lot of people are you know, going to come to that realization where you don't have to micromanage people anymore. So, all right, Dan. I think we're done.
Yeah.
Unless you had something.
No, it's time to wrap things up. What else is there? What was I going to say? Upgrading some stuff. Shit, what was I going to say? Oh, today I did something I haven't done in over a year.
Leave house?
No, I left the house a few times. I went to 7-Eleven today.
Got a sub.
No, I had to get milk. It was like the kids drank all the damn milk, and I was making meatloaf and mashed potatoes today, and I was like,
phew. You need milk for the mashed potatoes.
So I had to go to 7, which is like right down the street. And
I'd have gone to Wawa instead, man.
But you know what?
Wawa's not close.
Well, Wawa is not even 10 minutes away, but it was like right around rush hour, and I didn't want to deal with the fact that there's going to be a lot of traffic, and I don't know if there's going to be a massive amount of people trying to get gas. So I'm like, the 7-Eleven is just like right across the bridge, and I don't have to go. Right. It's on my side of the busy roads, so I don't have to cross anything. It's just
I know how it is, man. It's like what? See, we're like one exit away is where like the grocery store and Sam's Club and all that is. Now I could just go on 270 to get there. But the first thing I did after we lived here for a week was figure out a different way to get to those stores without having to hit the freeway. Because the freeway is always stupid, you know, between here and to go one exit. So, and I found a back way that goes down through downtown Dublin, and that's not too bad. But it's like I try to figure out back ways to avoid the traffic. Because I like I had my follow-up from my sleep study last week with my doctor this morning, and that's a half hour away. That's down in Grove City, closer to my house, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm on my way back, and I'm like, slow-ass truck get in front of me. I'm like, get out of my way! I'm like, I go in the next lane, I zoom up to 670 mile an hour. I'm like, now granted, I know it's 10 times worse there. I drove that road that you live near, and I don't wish that on anybody. That is awful driving right there. It's all the tourists, man. And the fact that you're going back and forth between Hampton Roads and Williamsburg and Norfolk and Virginia Beach. There's so much to do there. And that's part of the problem. It's a nice thing, but part of the problem. And my favorite sandwich place is down there in Williamsburg, too, the cheese shop. That place is awesome. I miss it, but... All right. We'll see everyone next week, I guess.
Yep. We'll see. Yep. Yeah. All right. What?
Say, if you're listening to my podcast, I've been going through each year in arcade games and video games, thanks to the Wikipedia page. There's a really good Wikipedia series that talks about like the year in video games. So that's kind of what I started doing. So this week, I think, is 1985.
Oh, yeah, I've been meaning to listen to that.
Or 84.
Yeah, I gotta get on board. I've really fallen down on listening to podcasts, but I've been meaning to listen to your show.
1983, I talked about was the year of the crash in video games.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked a little bit about that. So, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm just basically going in and riffing on the Wikipedia page mostly. And sharing my own memories of those times and those games and stuff like remember when Pole Position came out and you know Star Wars the arcade game, things like that. You know, it's just fun talking about that. And it was just for where I was going. I was doing like a video game at a time. You know, like I did an entire show on Pac-Man, right? In the series of Pac-Man, not just Pac-Man itself, but like Pac-Man, Super Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, so on and so forth, you know. I wanted a good series that would let me pre-record stuff. So I have like the next 2 weeks recorded. So I don't have to worry about trying to record a podcast when I'm trying to move shit. So I'm having fun with it. And I'm finally getting some responses back on the Facebook group and stuff like that. So that's always fun. So... But anywho, we'll see everyone next week for the penultimate episode of the Linux Link Tech Show with Joel being in Dublin, Ohio.
There we go. All right. I'm going to play out our promos. Here we go. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Here it is. Your promos.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello. My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint you a fine ass?
Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Mmm.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Slow motherfucker. Oh, boy.
We got team training week next week. Yeehaw. That means no work for half a day.
Is that good or bad?
I don't know. Could be bad. We had one of our junior admins was out, and our clients picked this week to do stupid shit. Like, accidentally axe a whole a field and an entire table with their own custom code. And it happened twice with two different clients. Stuff like that. At least I don't have to do what I had to do when we first moved into our old house, and that's install a garage door opener. We're going to have one in there from day one. And that makes me happy. Now I got to think of, what do I want to put for a window coverings in my office? I got one window. I'm thinking to go in with the blinds like I had in my old window. I had the blackout roller blind that IKEA has. But I'm not sure if I want that or if I want like a like vertical or horizontal blinds, or if I want like curtains. I do want to be able to look out the window on occasion though, so. But alrighty then, I think we're going to go relax. And I have had that printer going the whole show, and you haven't even heard it.
Nope.
See, I lean my mic close to it. I'm right next to the bed right now, and you still can't hear it. It's amazing. It used to be I could be on the other side of the room, and you could still hear it on the microphone, but not anymore. So, all right, we'll see you next week. Hopefully I'll have less stuff in this room.
All right, have a good week. We will talk to you then, and good luck with all the stuff going on.
Yes, sir. Four or five full ride scholarships.
You could probably get away with giving away like a $30,000 car.
Yeah. You're probably not wrong there. I'd take that. I'd take anything. You know?
Right.
But
I went to the gym today. I just got back.
No, I'm sorry.
Why are you sorry? It was fun. But I absolutely abused my arms, man.
Well, hopefully I'm feeling better enough to get back into the gym, but getting a new CPAP machine, and I'm not exactly sure when. We were due to get one in December, but I think he's going to try and get my BPAP, or BiPAP, I should say, but I think he's going to try and get me one early.
Oh.
Yeah, I got to raise my pressure up.
They gave me a different mask to try out, because I didn't like the new mask that they had been sending me. The full face. My old one was a full face and it was perfectly fine, but the new one just like broke after a month every time they sent me one, so I had them send me something different. And it's
like what happened when I tried a hybrid mask once, which had pillows and a thing over your mouth.
That's basically what I'm using now.
The Liberty Freedom, I think, from ResMed, I'd roll over and I'd fucking break it. It's like,
oh no, I haven't rolled over and broke this one, but it's not quite cushions. It's more just like a rubber gasket with holes for your nostril, and then the rest of it goes over the mouth.
Close, and then you come in. She starts wagging her tail and starts licking your hand.
Yes, Sassy definitely does that.
Oh, but I am going to hate my arms tomorrow.
What was it that killed you?
Well, I did an hour and... No. Almost 2 hours worth of triceps and biceps. So, yeah, it was probably the curls at the end, because by the end of it, I was only curling like what,
5 pounds,
probably,
right?
a 10-pound bar and 2 5s on it, so 20 pounds total, and I could barely move it.
So going for the endurance, huh?
Oh, dude, I was just wrecking it. I ain't been to the gym in a while. Well, I went on Monday, too. But that was getting in all the exercises that I couldn't really do at home, like hyperextensions and the step machine and all the fun stuff. Mostly back. So, yeah, been a fun couple of trips out, and I'm doing it with 3 free months, so hopefully by the time those 3 free months are done, we'll be going back to the office, and I can go to the gym at work that I pay for.
Well, what gym are you going to right now?
Texas Family Fitness.
And what,
because
gym,
it's close by.
What gym is it at the office, or is it actually at the office?
It's actually in the office.
Oh.
Yeah. And that one's cheaper than Planet Fitness. Plus, it's, you know, in the office, and I don't have to drive there.
Well, I heard my new city is getting a Planet Fitness. When it opens, I'll probably switch from the South High one over to the to that one. And I'll actually start going again, now that I've been paying it for a year and haven't gone much.
Yeah, well, Planet Fitness for me is like an hour away right now, so I'm not going to drive that far to go to the gym. I mean, it was only a good 15 minutes away from work, but yeah, an hour away from home. So I'll go to Texas Family Fitness for the next 3 months, especially since it's free.
Mm-hmm. So as a test, while we record the show, I'm actually going to run my printer, and I'm right beside it, and you won't be able to hear it.
Until it takes down your network. Man.
Nah, it's not connected to the network. Unlike some freaking pipeline.
Yeah, no shit,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, the whole funny thing is they only wear down a day because they're back up already.
Well, hold on. Let's start the show. Give me a count around, Joel.
3, 2, 1.
Come on.
Hit the fucking button.
I am.